Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Really appreciate Carlos Griego very much for sponsoring the programming here on KNKT and our show. We're joined this afternoon by Dr. Sean Navin. He's a doctor of pharmacy, and he's got an interesting story because he went from passing out drugs and seeing all the medications that go out to people that have developed type 2 diabetes, and he's decided that he can help you reverse diabetes now. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
So the official name now, Sean, of your diabetic coaching is called Diabetes Reversal Now. And we want to emphasize the now because catching it early is really important, right?
Yeah, very important. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to stress that part of the name is, you know, Diabetes Reversal Now. Like you said, very important to start right away because it turns out that you know, there have been people that have reversed their diabetes that have had it, and we're talking about type 2 diabetes here. Type 1, we can't reverse, unfortunately, but the earlier you can do it, the better, although there have been people that have reversed it who have had it for 20-plus years. It's more likely you're going to be able to reverse it and achieve normal blood sugar if you do it right away when you get the diagnosis from the doctor.
Well, and we should explain just in basic terms, type 1 diabetics are people who are no longer able to distribute. They don't have their pancreas is not putting out the cells that actually carry glucose to the other cells in the body. So they have to have most type 1 diabetics have to have insulin. And these cells are called islet cells, and they believe it's an immune, autoimmune disease and so forth. Type 2 diabetes is a little different in that it's more of a resistance to your insulin. Is that correct?
Yeah, both types revolve around insulin, the hormone that the pancreas secretes. They both revolve around insulin in different ways. And like you said, with type 1, for whatever reason, your immune system just happens to mount an attack against the cells in your pancreas that produce insulin. So you just can't even make insulin in the first place, and then your blood sugar goes up. And then in type 2, the disease revolves around insulin, but in a different way. And it seems that some of the best information we have right now seems to suggest that your fat is accumulating inside your liver and pancreas, and they're very closely related in some of the things that they do in the body. Fat accumulates inside those organs and eventually leads to your pancreas just not being able to secrete enough insulin, and that leads to your blood sugar going up. So you get high blood sugar in both of the types of diabetes. It's just it happens for different reasons. So type 2 diabetes is much more lifestyle focused. It has to do with the foods that we eat and our weight. And that's what I help people focus on so they can reverse their condition.
And Sean, you again are a licensed doctor of pharmacy, mm-hmm. and you've been distributing drugs for X number of years. And you saw that there were a lot of drugs going out to people and maybe just treating symptoms instead of actually helping them overcome the disease. So what you do now is you try to actually bring people into remission and be out of type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, exactly. I distributed the drugs, like you mentioned, and I also had the privilege of working with people directly, you know, helping them titrate their insulins and help them lower their blood sugar and get them on the right medications, and worked very closely with patients in the federal health system. So it's a little bit different than working as a pharmacist at a Walgreens or CVS. I had the privilege of really working one-on-one with people in the clinical setting. And I just saw that, you know, a lot of people have the same questions. You know, Sean, do I have to be on these medications my whole life? And I just saw over and over people weren't getting the help with lifestyle interventions. You know, we would say, you know, go diet and exercise. They would go try to do it, not have luck because it's hard to navigate all the information out there. And then they would come back they weren't able to implement the lifestyle intervention. So we said, okay, well, we have to do medication now. So it's almost as if it seems like people just aren't getting the opportunity or don't know what to do for lifestyle interventions that can be effective to get the biggest bang for your buck. And so that's why I felt like I could just have more of an impact if I could help people with those interventions so they don't have to take all the pills that I was giving out in other settings. So
yeah, not taking a bunch of drugs is okay in my book. I've always been very wary of that. Sean, I want to say, though, in the same breath that you're not against medications and you're not recommending people go off of medications. It's just that in your lifestyle intervention with people that are pre-diabetic or maybe have some history of type 2 diabetes in their families, you feel like you can really help them with diet and exercise and some other coaching so that they don't ever develop diabetes.
Yeah, and not just, you know, I really try to focus on people, you know, people like nutritionists or dietitians might help people prevent the development of prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. I work with people, even if they have those conditions, and maybe they are taking medications, and help them put that condition into remission, help them reverse it, which essentially means getting normal blood sugar without having to take medication. You can do that by implementing effective and focused lifestyle intervention. So that's what I help people do is, you know, coach them through those interventions. So I'm definitely, I mean, medications are so important and are very effective tools for, they can be very effective for diabetes. And some people choose to go that route. I always tell people when you get that diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, there's really two routes. You can go down the path of medication and some people, you know, can do okay with that. You know, they can manage it. It just, you know, the medications tend to build up. You tend to get more infections. You tend to just have other health issues over time. So that's one path. Or the other path, which I really want people to be aware of, is, hey, if you really get focused and are committed to change and motivation, or you're motivated to make a change and avoid the medications, avoid all the risks of type 2 diabetes. I mean, gosh, it can lead to some really bad things like leg amputations and blindness and heart attacks and strokes. If you want to avoid that, you can go down a different path, which is type 2 diabetes reversal and do the work up front and not go down the more painful path. So I like to give, I want people to know there are options. You can do it. It's just, it's going to take some effort. And that's what I want people that's what I help people do because it can be hard at first.
Yeah. Sean, why do you call type 2 diabetes the silent pandemic?
Well, it's silent because, you know, of course it's not getting as much news in excitement in the media per se as the pandemic of COVID right now. It's much more, at the forefront, but type 2 diabetes is really exploding across our country, across the world. I mean, since the 1980s, the number of people in the world has quadrupled that have type 2 or that have diabetes. And type 2 diabetes makes up a majority of diabetes. It's like 90%. Type 1 is only about 5 to 10%. But, you know, it's really exploded across the world. It's people have quadrupled in numbers that have this condition. And in New Mexico, you know, we have a prevalence of about 14% of type 2 diabetes here, which is, you know, a little bit higher than the national average. And then 40% of New Mexicans actually have prediabetes, which is the precursor to type 2 diabetes. So if you have prediabetes, you are at very high risk for developing type 2 diabetes. And 40% of New Mexicans have that. So it's really just a bubbling, boiling condition underneath the surface of our society that's starting to explode in certain places. And I started to see this, you know, not only in patients, but family members, friends. I started to see we're getting it, coworkers who are doctors and nurses and pharmacists. So it just really affects everybody. And I think everybody probably knows someone who has it because it's just everywhere.
Sean, you're trying to bring to our awareness that there are people walking around right now that may have the precursors or even actually have type 2 diabetes and they're not getting it checked out. What kind of symptoms would people normally see if they're starting to become pre-diabetic or even in the early stages of having type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to really know if you are pre-diabetic. I mean, you probably wouldn't really notice much. How we normally would detect that is if you go to the doctor and they'll prick your finger and check the sugar in your blood and when you're fasting, and that is usually an indication, or they could do an A1C test. And if the test was between, 5.7% and 6.4%, you would be labeled as or diagnosed as pre-diabetic. But other than doing a lab test, you probably wouldn't know it. Although you could kind of look at, there are markers of, you know, how people, look or how much they weigh, the foods that they eat. If you just know you're kind of eating a lot of packaged junk foods, eating out all the time, and you have, you know, a classic sign is mid-abdominal obesity. So just kind of like that classic belly. Those are, you know, part of something we call the metabolic syndrome. You know, cholesterol and blood pressure is in there too. So, you know, somebody could kind of do a self-assessment and say, okay, am I kind of fitting that picture? Maybe I have pre-diabetes. But it's not going to be something like type 2 diabetes, the full-blown version, where that's where you might notice like, oh, well, you know, I'm feeling some tingling in my extremities. Maybe I have nerve pain. Some people get blurred vision because that could be a sign of high blood sugar and just kind of doing some early damage to your eyes. And then the tingling in your nerves, again, just nerve damage from the high blood sugar. Peeing a lot, or if you're eating and just always hungry and can't seem to get enough, those are some signs of type 2 diabetes that, you know, might warrant going to the doctor.
Sean, I'll share with you a quick story. I think, as you know, I have a daughter who's now in her 20s, but when she was 4, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, early child onset diabetes. And she's very healthy, graduated from college, doing a master's degree, athlete, everything's great. But when a child is first diagnosed with diabetes, parents just are absolutely terrified, as I was. And I went, I had a chance to share with a lot of different parents in a lot of different circumstances after I got comfortable with everything and my daughter's routine and all the things that she had to do. But I ran into a number of people that were type 2 diabetics, and people would ask me, well, how do I check my blood sugar? And so what I would do before I'd speak to these groups is I'd just go by Walgreens and I'd buy a little test kit. And I haven't done this now for 4 or 5 years, but back in the day, you could buy a little test kit for $12, yep. And it came with about 20 strips. And I was speaking with 10 or 15 people at a time, and I knew that only 2 or 3 people would want them, but I would prick their finger and test them. I mean, it's not rocket science. And what was interesting, Sean, is almost every time I did that, I'd find somebody with a blood sugar of about 110, 120, 125, which if you're over 100, you're kind of considered to possibly be pre-diabetic. And I was actually able to warn some people about that. And that's something that any of us can go buy over the counter. You can go buy a little blood sugar test kit. You can prick your finger and test yourself. And I kind of recommend to people that they might even consider that, because the earlier they catch it, they can call Dr. Sean Navin and get involved in your program. And many, many times they can reverse it, can't they?
Yeah, I think self-testing at home is a way to empower people. I mean, you just want to be careful. I would just caution people, when interpreting the numbers, there can be a lot of factors at play. So, you know, it's going to matter if you test it first thing in the morning when you're fasting versus if you test, right after you've eaten. So numbers are going to vary. So you have to be mindful of those things. You know, I'm always for people, it being in absolute control of their health. And I think testing your blood sugar is part of that. So, you know, you can educate yourself on those things and do that. You know, you could, for the average person out there, if you wanted to do that, you could just test your fasting blood sugar. So first thing in the morning, at least 8 hours from your last meal. But if you're testing other parts of the day, it's going to be hard to kind of interpret those things. But like you said, if you're fasting first thing in the morning, and if it's above 100, that could be an indication of something going on. And then you would always want to follow up with your doctor
Well,
Sean,
I appreciate you as a medical professional pointing out the pitfalls of this testing. And I was just a dad trying to show people, you know, how easy it was to do and how it didn't really hurt, et cetera. But I will tell you, I did have a gentleman that while I was talking, he was eating an orange and he asked me if show him how to do it. So I had him prick his finger and everything else. Of course, I wasn't paying attention that he'd been eating an orange, which means he has orange juice all over his hands. And of course, his blood sugar ended up being like 200. Now, fortunately, right after I tested him and I saw that, I kind of looked around and I saw the orange peel and I thought, did you just have something on your hands that was, you know, sugar? And he said yes. And so, yeah, you absolutely have to be really careful. But the main thing I want to emphasize to people today is if you're having to go to the restroom very frequently, if you're having to urinate very frequently, if you are hungry all the time, these are things that you need to meet with a medical professional. You need to get in touch with a guy like Dr. Sean Navin. Sean, how do our listeners get in touch with you to find out about your services?
Yeah, you can visit diabetesreversalnow.com. Diabetesreversalnow.com is the place where you can learn more about my coaching services. I write articles about, you know, what does type 2 diabetes reversal mean, you know, ways you can avoid stress eating at home during the holidays, if you want resources there. And then if you're on Facebook, you can find me at facebook.com/Dr. Sean Navin.
Very nice. Very nice. We're going to be back with another 15 minutes with Dr. Sean. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned. Children who are hurting and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, caring also takes dollars. You can help provide a home for these children with us by making a tax-deductible donation online at acch4kids.org or by calling us at 898-5520. 2020 has been a challenge for all of us. Our children are growing up in a safe and secure Christian home because of your generous support. At this critical time, we need your support now more than ever. We receive no state or federal funding. Please consider a year-end donation to help us continue to provide a loving home for our children. Go to acch4kids.org and click on the Donate Now button or call us at 898-5520.
Serving you and your family.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosca and we'll be there.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Whether ordering delivery, takeout, or pickup, let's get out there and support our favorite restaurants. Central Grill and Coffee House, east of Rio Grande on Central, serving breakfast all day. Casa Taco, uniquely prepared craft tacos made fresh to order. Nacho Mama's Tacos. Grassburger, using 100% grass-fed beef. EatGrassburger.com. Village Pizza, two locations. Great homemade pizza, the best ingredients. They need us, and truth be told, we need them. Bon appetit.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Sean Navin on the phone with us this afternoon. Sean, thanks for being on the phone with us. I know we were originally planning to have you in studio, but everybody's trying to be extra careful out there, and we're all kind of getting used to these remote learning opportunities and these remote conversations. Are you doing that type of work now with your clients?
Yeah, and again, thanks for having me. I'm very grateful to speak with you and your audience. And believe it or not, when I was transitioning from the traditional healthcare system, I was setting up my services to be online because I wanted to reach as many people as I could because, you know, diabetes is everywhere in our country. So as I transitioned, COVID hit, and so that didn't change too much of my plan, because the clients that I work with, it's virtual, it's through video connection. You know, they do work at home that we establish together, and then we meet once a week to provide that accountability, that support, and to make sure that we're staying on track to reach the goals that the client has.
Who does this disease affect? Type 2 diabetes, does it affect people that are in the gym all the time, and vegetarians, and people that watch their diet, people that eat too much? Who does it affect?
Well, I like to caution people that, you know, it can really affect everybody, and it doesn't matter if you are a vegetarian or if you are a gym buff lifting a bunch of weights, because, you know, I think some people might think those people might be protected from those things, but I think there's some myths about nutrition and wellness that can put people at risk. I always tell people exercise is important. It's just not the first thing you should do to reverse your diabetes. We would tell people that a lot when I was working in the clinic, is, you know, you really need to start exercising. But the reality is you actually get little bang for your buck with exercise and reversing your diabetes. It's important for other things, you know, staying limber and flexible, and, you know, for your heart, it's very important. But when it comes to weight loss, and you know, you're probably going to need to lose weight loss in the form of fat. Exercise actually doesn't really help that much. It helps keep it off later, but when you're making changes initially, the first thing you want to focus on is what's going inside your mouth. So that's going to have the biggest impact, is just really choosing the foods that you eat. And again, it doesn't matter if you're vegetarian or keto or whatever it is. You really have to dive in more into the details of what that means, because, you know, we all know somebody who says they're vegan or vegetarian and all they do is eat, you know, chips and soda and salsa. That's not healthy food. Or even if you say you're keto, you know, some foods are labeled as keto, but then they just have a lot of extra things in them added, which is where it's important to understand food labels. So you do need a laser focused look at the foods that you're eating, and you can't just look at those kind of those clickbait names. You know, it really takes some focus.
Sean, most of us have been brought up in the last 20 years as looking at food labels to identify whether something is low fat. And we've learned recently from a nutritionist that's visited us, and I think you've commented on some of her posts, and she's done the same with you, Jennifer Bryant, that if something says low fat, it means high sugar. And so you really want to warn us about sugar.
Yeah, I mean, sugar is really driving a lot of the problems with metabolic disease. It's certainly not the only thing. I mean, there's certain types of fats you want to watch out for. But sugar in the United States is added to a lot of things to keep things fresh, as, you know, as a preservative and for taste. So, you know, if something is low fat, you really want to see, okay, if they took the fat out, then maybe they added some sugar to compensate for some of the taste there. So, you really do want to watch out for the added sugar, and it's so easy to overdo. You know, just as an example, you know, the American Heart Association recommends that for men, they shouldn't consume more than 37.5 grams of sugar in a day. And for women, it's 25 grams. And one Coke has 46 grams. So you're easily over your limit with just one Coke. And that's not to mention the sugar in the you know, chips, cookies, all the things, even salad dressings. All this stuff adds up. It's like, it's like compounding effect, you know.
Well, and I've learned, again, being a dad of a daughter who's type 1 diabetic and having some low blood sugars and having to grab a soft drink and have her take a quick drink because maybe we gave her too much insulin or something like that, I've been privy to seeing how quickly the body will actually process sugar, and it goes to your bloodstream in literally less than 5 minutes. If you drink a soft drink, that sugar is going into your bloodstream, and I can't imagine the shock that it puts your pancreas in for people that are normal. And so, you know, just frankly, that's something that soft drinks are just not the best thing for you, are they?
No, definitely not. And I'll throw fruit juice in there too. Again, that's why it really pays to just really focus in on the fruit here, because even if something's 100% fruit juice is the liquid coming from a fruit. And the problem with that is that it doesn't have the fiber, so it changes how your body absorbs it. And like you said, Jim, it can just be a shock to your system, to your pancreas, and more, you know, for your liver. So you take out the fiber, and you're just left with liquid sugar, which is pretty much soda. And soda just has, you know, some carbon dioxide dissolved into it to add the fizziness. But so it's 100% juice, fruit juice. I would avoid that too. I mean, that's the easiest thing that anybody can do right now, is to be cutting out those added sugars, those processed foods, and you're going to make so much progress right there, and then you can focus on what to add in after that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Is there more and more evidence coming about the reversibility of type 2 diabetes, Sean?
Yeah, that's the exciting thing. So if anybody's wondering, like, okay, what is this guy talking about? Like, what does reversing diabetes actually mean? And people have done it, and I've worked with people that have done it, which is the inspiring part for me. And then also just looking at the research and evidence that is coming out, you know, it really started we knew this. I mean, there's reports of people doing it. I mean, I came across people that said, yeah, you know, I went home after getting my medication. The person disappeared after a couple months, and then all of a sudden they showed back up at the clinic. They're like, oh yeah, I just changed my lifestyle and my blood sugar is normal now. So people have been doing it, but it's really started to be well known in 2018. There's some good research coming out of the UK that showed people reversed their diabetes. So got their A1C below 6.5% without medication, and they weren't exercising in that study, by the way. And then, you know, there's another one that came out in, it's called Diadem 1. This was a study done in Qatar. And Qatar, man, talk about exploding diabetes. It's really been hitting them hard over there in the Middle East. But they just came out with a study in, I think it was July or September of this year, and showed similar results as the research in the UK, where people were able to reverse their diabetes in more than 50% of the population that went through the study. So, and this is just lifestyle intervention. This is losing weight, you know, by cutting calories or, you know, doing certain types of diets, and then just reintroducing healthy food. So it's not anything, no magic supplements, no gym memberships. It's just focus, guidance, and support to make those interventions.
Well, and it sounds like, Sean, when you are able to do lifestyle interventions with people and they hire you, they get to a point where they have kind of graduated and they don't need your services, and you do a lot to teach them. Do you see people staying away from bad habits after you work with them?
I've been encouraged by that. I keep in touch with my clients even after we work together. So if we work together, we work together for 2 months. And that's going to give you what you need to make the changes. And, you know, the reality is people do need long-term support. But my goal is that, you know, we work together, you're going to have the tools, you're going to have made progress, you're going to have lost weight, that, you know, we don't need to keep working together as intensely. But I definitely still keep in touch with my clients and make sure they're doing okay, because I care that people, you know, achieve the results and are able to maintain them. That's my goal.
Sean, one more time, how do our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you've just been diagnosed with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, you want to make a change, but you just don't know where to start, you can visit me at diabetesreversalnow.com. I have some articles that you might be interested in, just more information, and then that's where you can learn about working with me. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/DrSeanNaven.
Dr. Sean, thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect. We appreciate you.
It's been fun. Thanks, Jim.
We'll look forward to talking to you after the first of the year. Merry Christmas.
Likewise. Thanks, Jim. Take care.